Hello, this week we're going to talk about Parshas Bechukotai from the Tzenu Rena, and I think it's very relevant to all of us and how we live in our modern society. Every society struggles with different things, and our society struggles with materialism, with the abundance that is available to us and the increasing amount of material wealth that we have, just in the fact that our standards of living are so much higher than even we had 20 years before. The poorest people might have resources that we didn't even have 20 years ago. So how do we use this plenty to enhance our spiritual life? And how do we make sure that it doesn't make us more focused on materialism, but allows us to grow to become the people we want to be? The beginning of our parsha deals with the material rewards that we receive based on how we act spiritually. And the Tzenu Rena starts with a pasuk from Mishlei to help us understand this concept. Ataras chachamim ashram, Ivelis kisilim ivelis. The crown of the wise is their wealth, and the stupidity of fools is stupidity. The Tzenu Rena explains that when wise people, when chachamim, when tzaddikim, when people who are good and spiritually have spiritual aspirations are rich, it's something that creates something very beautiful. It's like a crown that enhances the king. In contrast, evil people, people who are foolish, if they're wealthy, it only makes them look more foolish. So the Tzenu Rena explains why material wealth is only beneficial for the wise. What happens when someone is rich? I think we've all experienced this. You know somebody who's rich, and all of a sudden people start paying attention and giving more weight to what they have to say. And they assume that they're smart. They assume that there's some way to reach out to them, that if they talk to them or if they hear from them, somehow they too, that wealth will rub off on them. So rich people have influence and power beyond what they necessarily may have earned by their behavior. If a wise person is rich, the Tzenu Rena says, everyone will accept what they have to say. The people who appreciate wisdom will appreciate the person's wisdom, and the people who look to rich people will listen to him because he's rich. So everybody in the society is going to listen to this person, and he has a real chance to influence how people act. And he knows this. So he knows that he has influence, and so when he talks to help people, and people listen to him, and they feel secure that they can rely on him, both because of his wealth and because of his knowledge. If this same person were poor, even if he would have the same advice, nobody would listen to him, because that's what human nature is. You see somebody who's struggling, and you don't necessarily feel comfortable, and you don't want to take advice from them. So the pasuk says, "Chachmas hamiskein b'zuya." That the wealth, the wisdom of someone who's unfortunate is scorned. In addition to respect, if a Talmid Chacham is rich, then of course he's going to do more mitzvos than he could do if he were poor. He's going to do tzedakah, he's going to enhance, he's going to buy sfarim, he's going to be able to buy a nice esrog, he's going to be able to host people for Shabbos. He's going to use his money in ways that are going to benefit the world and benefit himself in terms of his spirituality. What happens with a Rasha who becomes rich? It's very different. He becomes more foolish when he has more money. If, because he's a Rasha, he also isn't going to do anything positive with his money. He's not going to give tzedakah because he's a Rasha. He's not going to invest in anything in enhancing the Shabbos for anybody. He's a Rasha. So he's going to keep his money and become very stingy. And he's also going to think about himself that he's pretty great because he has the money and other people don't. So he's going to think he's something special, and that's going to lead to arrogance. And as we discussed in the last week's parasha, arrogance is one of the greatest of sins that a person can have. It completely disconnects them from Hashem and doesn't allow them to grow and become better. So because of this arrogance, he also won't want to speak to other people, so he's not going to interact with people. And so everyone in the community is going to start to resent him and hate him and distance themselves from him emotionally or physically, because he's going to be somebody who they scorn and deride, maybe not in front of his face, but always behind his back. They're going to think about him and talk about him and say how he doesn't do anything good with his money. So the wealth, instead of helping him, causes him to have a bad reputation. This wealth makes him well known and everyone talks about him, but it's always negative. So if he were poor, then he wouldn't have people talking about him. But because he's rich, the poor curse him. And even if he does something that's neutral, he goes to the store, people comment, oh, did you see what he buys? Why did he go to the store today? Why didn't he go tomorrow? Oh, he had his chauffeur taken. So there's always a comment and people are always noticing, even when he does something neutral. If he were poor, nobody would buy him. Nobody would care what he would do, because he's a poor guy. What does it matter? But if he's rich, people will assume the worst about him. They're going to deride his business. They're going to be happy if he fails. And they're going to find ways to help him struggle. So what is the connection between wealth in this topic and our parsha and the mitzvos? The Torah tells us in this week's parsha that if we do the mitzvos, they're going to give us material wealth. The Torah and Hashem wants us to do mitzvos, and Hashem promises us that if we keep the mitzvos, then we're going to have what we need because it's to our benefit and to the benefit of the other people around us. Hashem will give us rain and food and everything we need. And the Torah doesn't just give us Olam Hazeh. The Torah is primarily spiritual, and its goal is that we should get to Olam Haba. But even still, the Torah realizes that in order to get to Olam Haba, we need to have our Olam Hazeh, this world, our physical needs taken care of. So Hashem worries about the fact that what do we have? Do we have what we need? And so it promises that if we follow the Torah and we show that we're partners with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in helping achieve what he wants in creation, he's going to give us a livelihood with dignity so that we can sit and we can learn Torah without disturbance and we don't need to worry about a parnasa, and we'll be able to learn Torah. And through this, through being able to learn Torah, because we don't have any physical and livelihood worries, we're going to be merit to having Olam Haba. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, in Ein Kemach Ein Torah, if we don't have flour, if we are not able to feed our families, we're not able to go out and learn. So we need one to have the other. The parsha begins, in Bechukotai Tilechu, if you walk with my laws. So the Tzenu Rena explains this pasuk to mean that if you are good and a tzenua, somebody who's modest and humble, and we keep all the laws, then as a result of these behaviors, we're going in the way Hashem wants, so he's going to reward us with lots of rain and dew, so that we're going to have enough food. The pasuk continues, v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. The second promise is that we're going to have peace in the land. What else does a person need aside from money? We can't enjoy what we have. We can't enjoy the money. We can't enjoy the food if we don't have peace. Hashem doesn't want us to say, great, I have food, everything's good, but without peace, I can't sit down and eat. It's not worth anything. We can look at Ukraine. They have so much wealth. They have so much food. A large percentage of the calorie intake for the world comes out of the Ukraine, and it's sitting in the ports because there's war. So without peace, having rain, having crops doesn't help. The next promise is V'radfu mikem chamishimeya. Five men from the Jewish people will be able to chase 100 enemies. Umeya mikem rovava. 100 Jewish soldiers will be able to chase 10,000 enemy soldiers. 10,000 soldiers will flee because of the fear that Hashem put in them. The Tzenu Rena raises the question about how the Torah describes the two groups. So the first group, it says, 5 will be able to chase 100. So that ratio is 1 to 20. If we take that ratio and we apply it to the 100 men, it should be that 100 men will be able to chase 2,000 men. But instead, the Torah says that the 100 men, instead of chasing 2,000 men, will chase 10,000 men. The Tzenu Rena answers that the more men there are in a group, the larger their merit is, the larger their zochus is, because the result of all those groups' mitzvot is exponentially greater than the merit of the individuals. Also, as the phrase goes, there's no atheist in a voxel. When soldiers are on the battlefield, they naturally daven. They daven that their battle should be successful, that they should return home to the families. When we daven with a large group of people, our tefillos join together and are much more powerful than if we daven as individuals. So on the battlefield, Hashem will listen. The tefillos of those 5 men makes them able to conquer 100 enemy soldiers. But the tefillos of 100 people changes them from being able to only conquer 2,000 people to being that the tefillos of 100 makes them able to chase and defeat 10,000 soldiers. So this is an important lesson. When we join together with others, we are so much more powerful. We are able to achieve so much more with our mitzvos and our tefillos. The promises continue. V'panisi aleichem, I will turn to you. Hashem says, I will turn only to you. I will pay attention only to you. It will be like a chasen and kala, a bride and a groom, who only have eyes for each other. There's going to be a connection that's very deep and meaningful. The pasuk also says, I will walk among you. It's not possible for Hashem to walk amongst us in this world, So the Tzen Arena says that I kivyachol will stroll with you in Gan Eden in the world to come. This parsha first says that there's going to be food, so that a person will be able to learn without any bothers, and through this they're going to come to Olam Haba. After this, the Torah promises that Hashem will be with us in Olam Haba when Mashiach comes. The pasuk says, "Va'olich eschem kumumios." I will lead you in an upright fashion. You're going to walk into Eretz Yisrael upright. When Mashiach comes, Hashem will build the Beis Hamikdash, a tall structure that will be 2 times the height of Adam Rishon. I'd love it at some future time to understand the significance of the height of the Beis Hamikdash in contrast to the height of Adam Rishon, and people will be taller at the time of Mashiach. These promises of brachos, this parsha, this section begins with an aleph and ends with a tav to show us that if Klal Yisrael keeps the Torah that contains all the letters of aleph to tav, that means aleph and tav signifies totality, we're going to get all these brachos that are contained in this section. The next topic after the brachos are klalos, curses. These curses occur, and the Torah warns us, if you don't keep the Torah, this is what's going to happen. This section starts with the letter Vav and ends with the letter Hey. There's no space between the two letters. These two letters are part of Hashem's name. So what it shows us is that even if Hashem has to punish us, and even when we rebel, and Hashem is distant for us, even still, He's still going to find a way to be with us. The letters of His name are still going to be with us because through punishment is only there not out of anger or revenge, but out of a desire to help bring us close again. If we look at the contrast, we look at the parsha, most of the parsha is made up of klalos, of curses, and there are only a few brachos. So how come that is? Shouldn't there be a lot of brachos and only a few klalos? So the Tzen Arena says that there are so few brachos, but those brachos will span a very long time. Just like they start with an aleph and end with a tav, which is a law, you know, the entire sequence of the aleph days, so too our brachos are going to extend for a long time, as if from aleph to tav. The klalos, with the hey and the vav, they have no space in between. There might be a lot of klalos, but they're only going to happen for a very short time. The Tolos Yitzchak looks at the beginning of the parasha, where it says, in b'chukosai teilechu, if you are going to my statutes, these are the laws that we don't understand. He then looks at the next phrase, and he says, the next phrase is u'mitzvosai tishmoru. This is referring to mitzvos that we understand the logic behind them. They make sense to us. So the word tishmoru, very often we call a person a shomer Shabbos. They guard the Shabbos. They refrain from doing things that are not allowed by the Torah. But the Tolos Yitzchak explains the word shamar in a different way. He said it doesn't mean guard, as much as it means to watch out for something. So we're meant to watch out for the mitzvahs. How do we watch out for something? When we have something precious happening or exciting, we anticipate when it will happen, so we get the first opportunity to have that chance. So I remember when the first iPhone came out, there were lines around the block for this iPhone, because to people who wanted the iPhone, this was a very significant event, and they were willing to wait online so that they could get the first opportunity for it. So that's what we're supposed to have. That attitude of anticipation, excitement, waiting, is how we're supposed to approach the mitzvos in order that we should get all these brachos. In mitzvosai tishmoru, if you are excited and waiting to do chesed, to learn Torah, and then you do them, if we immediately jump at the opportunity to do mitzvos, then we're going to get the different brachos, which we said were geshem, rain, which leads to food, peace, the ability to fight against enemies, and that Hashem will be with us. The Tzen Arena explains further that Hashem in these four brachos are addressing different groups of people in Klal Yisrael with what they will appreciate. The first bracha of rain appeals to farmers, to people who are worried about their income. With what will I sustain myself? So Hashem says, you're going to get rich. You're going to have rain and it's going to give you money. The next bracha is shalom, is peace. Some people need calm. Money is important to them, but if they just need a peaceful life, they need an opportunity to enjoy their family, sit, relax. So Hashem promises them, for those who want money, you'll have money. For those who just want peace and quiet, you'll have that too. Next thing it talks about is that 5 will chase 100. So there are other people, if they have quiet, they go crazy. They need action. They need movement. They need to have their adrenaline pumping. They need the rush of battle. So they don't want to be taken care of. They don't want to have money. They don't want to have calm. They want action. So Hashem says, I will provide that for you too. you'll be able to be successful in war without any casualties. The last group, the final group, values their connection to Hashem and learning His Torah. And for this group, Hashem promises them the ultimate reward. I'm going to put my tabernacle, my home amongst you, and I'm going to walk amongst you. I know you want a relationship with me, and that's the biggest reward, so I will give you that. So the pasuk is addressing each one of the categories of the Jewish people. The next part of the parasha is going to describe many of the klalos, the curses that will come to the Jewish people if we do not follow the Torah and mitzvot to help us get back on the right path. But now I want to look back at what we learned about the brachos so we can see the many lessons we have learned. The Torah asks us that we should try to be our best. And if we do that, if we're trying to be our best by keeping the Torah and mitzvot, then Hashem will give us brachos. Hashem will give us material wealth so that we can continue to achieve that which we want. We show that we're part of Hashem's team. So if we show that we're using our brachos in the right way, Hashem then invests in us so that we can do more. Hashem also realizes that it's not a one-size-fit-all proposition. He sees that there are different types of personalities, and each personality needs something else that they consider a bracha. It's not that I can give the same thing to everyone, but Hashem chooses that to make sure that there's a bracha that will fit each group. For some, it's having parnasa. For some, it's having calm. For some, it's having the opportunity to be involved in something that's a rush. And for some, it's learning Torah. There's nothing that's considered bad. Hashem just understands that everybody needs something different. I think that's a very important lesson that we can take out of this parasha. That number one is that Hashem knows us and what's good for us, and He loves us for who we are. And Hashem gives us gifts so that we can become the best we can be. So when we have gifts, we need to thank Hashem and think about, why do I have these gifts? What is the goal of these gifts, and how can I use them to serve Hashem, to keep the Torah and the mitzvot, and to help others? And what is my best? What is it that I want to be? Who do I want to be? And we also understand that when we relate to other people, just like Hashem relates to us as individuals and recognizes that we each have different needs, we need to look at the people in our lives and say, what will be meaningful to them? How can I help them? How can I do a chesed? How can I do a kindness? How can I express my love in a way that will feel good to them, as opposed to trying to have a one-size-fit-all solution? So if we do the mitzvot and we keep the Torah and we try our best and we try to become our best and we appreciate the gifts that Hashem has, then we will be zocha to Ezra Hashem to come back to Eretz Yisrael to have the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash and to walk with Hashem b'mhir v'yameinu. Have a good Shabbos.